please welcome from Termination for Medical Reasons Ireland, please welcome Jennifer Ryan.
In. She scanned us for nearly half an hour in silence, and by then we knew something was wrong, very wrong. And she eventually turned around to us and said, "It's bad news, guys." She couldn't see a lot because there wasn't a lot of fluid around her baby. What she could see was very, very severe spinal bifida. No kidneys were shown on the scan, hydrocephalus, and a few other things, but lack of fluid made scanning really, really hard. And we asked her what the prognosis was, and she goes, it's your baby's incompatible with life. She sent us away that evening to talk, to think about our options, and come in the next day for more tests. So we came back in the next morning and we had a CBS done just to see if it was a genetic thing or a chromosomal problem. And again, they confirmed on the scans that our baby was not going to survive. The results wouldn't be back for about 3 days, so we were sent away to think what we wanted to do. And in the meantime, we had asked the doctor as well, you know, will our baby feel pain? What would happen if we continue? And she said, with no fluid around our baby, our my organs would fall on her and crush her. And if I did get to delivery, they would have a pain specialist on standby, that if she was born alive, that they'd have to just medicate her as soon as, because her condition was so severe. When we came back in the following Monday, we could see from the initial results that it wasn't chromosomal, it was just one of those things. But by then we decided we were going to travel. So they gave us a number to Liverpool Women's Hospital, and we had to ring ourselves and make an appointment. And they gave us all our relevant scans and any details we had, and we just emailed them over to them. And they came back and gave us an appointment for the following week. So then we got onto the bereavement team in Liverpool, and they organised. We decided we wanted to bring our daughter home with us to bury in Ireland. We had an older child, and we felt it was important that she met her sister so that she knew she was real. So we got onto the boat companies and they okayed it that we could bring her home, just not have her coffin visible in the car. And we did. Our appointment was for Monday the 22nd of October. So we left on the 21st on the ferry to Holyhead. My husband drove through the night up to Liverpool. We arrived just before 9. And we sat in the car for half an hour, waiting to go in, knowing that as soon as we were going in there, we wouldn't be leaving with her still alive. So we went in anyway, and we went to the fetal medicine area. And they were so wonderful. They just were so compassionate, so caring. They brought us into a family room so we didn't have to wait with other women. So we were alone, we had our own space. And they brought us in, they scanned us, and the consultant went through everything. And by the scan, she actually felt there was more problems than they could initially see. And they said, "Do you want to go off and have lunch or anything like that? Or, you know, and then come back and sign forms." So we said, "You know, well, we've nowhere to go. You know, we just drove over." They left us in there and they brought us some food and teas and coffees, and they just took care of us. And then they came in and we went through the forms and I signed, and then I took all the tablets that I had to, and they said, "Go on off and get something to eat and come back about 4 o'clock. So we did that, and that's fine. We went in then for the procedure. and I didn't realise what way the procedure was done, because no one had told us. You know, in Ireland you just tell us, and they just presumed I knew. So we had that done, and it was very quick. She just drifted off, and the consultant just said, "She's gone now." They brought us up to the labour ward then. We met the midwives up there, and they were brilliant. They just kept telling us that we'd done the right thing. You know, we were doing what was best for our daughter and for us, for our family. And they started my labour at about 12 o'clock. And they were great. They kept bringing us in food, and the room was set up so that my husband could sleep. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, she was born on the Tuesday morning. And we got to spend all day with her. And they came in, they gave us a name, we searched, and anyone who came into the room, they came over and looked at her, and they remarked how beautiful she looked. And she was so tiny, but she was perfect. You could see her problems, like her spina bifida, and you know, there was evidence about her legs, but she was just perfect. I discharged myself at about 5 o'clock so that we could get the boat home. So we drove back down to Holyhead. We arrived home at about 2:30 in the morning, and we had her with us for 3 days, and then we had her buried in the local graveyard. And all our family got to meet her and got to spend time with her, and we have hundreds of photos. It's just sad that we had to go and travel to do that. Should be done here. And the passion to have been delivered in Ireland.
Okay.
Thank you, Jennifer Ryan. Thank you very much. I should just point out, I told her I'd be a terrible MC if I got emotional, but please don't leave if you would like to without signing the petition. There is a laptop over here, I believe the action is here. Is that right? Yeah, laptop over here. Beside all the fruit, there is a computer, so please do. And after the film is shown, if you wouldn't mind tweeting about the event, that would be fantastic. It'll be appreciated too. I would now like to call on, we will next hear from the Executive Director of Amnesty International Ireland. Please welcome Colm O'Gorman.
Thanks, Tara. About 10 years ago, a then senior minister in the government of the Down South said to me that, in their view, Ireland was pathologically incapable of having an objective conversation about abortion. And for 30 years at that stage, ministers of health and senior government figures, senior ministers, had held their breath, hoping that there wouldn't be a tragedy that catapulted the issue of abortion into public debate, just waiting and hoping it wouldn't happen on their watch. And I think the story that Jennifer just told, and the stories that we hear as part of this campaign, give lie to the idea that these aren't everyday tragedies, and that the gross and, in my view, obscene failure of successive Irish governments to address this issue with a standard of basic human decency, with integrity, and of course in line with their clear international, their clear obligations under international human rights law, has caused what are tragic circumstances and challenging circumstances for many women and girls and their families to become, frankly, unspeakable tragedies. Tragedies that didn't need to happen. Tragedies that were made worse by a society and by laws and by governments that force women and girls into temporary exile in the way that Jennifer was. That don't allow doctors to give, never mind best medical service to their patients, but even when they're restricted in providing what is an appropriate medical intervention, in many cases, access to safe and legal abortion, basic advice and information that guides and supports the women and girls and their families that we fail so desperately on this island as they embark on a journey and have to travel to other countries to access a service that they have a basic human right to. We do live, I think, in a different Ireland. And whilst many people draw comparisons between the debate that happened on marriage equality and link the two issues, I think there is a link, not on the basis of the issues. But what we've discovered this year is actually that minister was wrong. As Irish people, as people living on this island, we are perfectly capable of having an objective, challenging, at times passionate, but decent conversation on complex issues. And this is a complex issue. This is a difficult issue, but everybody in this room knows this. And its difficulty, its complexity, requires that we engage with it with honesty, with courage, with integrity, and that we understand that the heart of this issue is a very basic question about women's human rights. And that requires that we have these conversations. I have to say, I hadn't anticipated that I'd speak necessarily in the way that I'm speaking now, but whenever I hear women like Tara, like Jennifer, and people like Helen and Graeme step forward to tell stories that they should never have to tell, it of course moves me, but it just really, excuse me now, but it just really pisses me off, because it's not good enough. It's not good enough for us to continue to live in a society where we pretend that these aren't everyday issues for our mothers, for our sisters, for our friends, for our daughters. They are. And they're issues for us. They're issues for us as those who love and live with the women in our lives. Change is coming. Events like today, the courage of the people in this room, are what will change the laws on this island, because they must change and they will change. The time for silence is over. It's wrong. It is profoundly wrong that any woman, that anybody has to step forward and talk about issues like the moments in their lives when they felt that they needed to, or when they absolutely needed to access abortion. It is profoundly wrong that those conversations are necessary, but they are. And we are indebted to all of those who are telling their stories and who will continue to tell their stories. The issue here at hand really is an issue of a failure in political leadership. Let's recognise that. We've come to understand an awful lot more about what Ireland thinks, north and south. We carried out an opinion poll in May of this year to look at attitudes to abortion and to Ireland's laws on abortion, in the run-up to the launch of this campaign and run-up to the launch of our report in June, She's Not a Criminal. And we discovered that only 7% of people in the Republic believe that abortion should be banned in all circumstances. 7%. Only 9% of people believe that access to abortion should be limited to a situation where there's a real and substantial risk to the life of a woman, as the current law is in Ireland. 81% of people believe that at a minimum there should be safe and legal access to abortion for all women and girls in cases where the pregnancy poses a risk to the life or health of a woman, in cases where a pregnancy results from is the result of rape or incest, or in cases where there's a fatal fetal abnormality. So public opinion is clear, and it's time for politicians north and south to step up, to do their damn jobs, and to show some leadership. And to politicians who say that the time isn't right, that it's not the time for us to put this question in the south before the people, the time is beyond right. The time was always right. It is profoundly wrong not to offer the Irish people an opportunity to have their say on the Eighth Amendment. And one thing that we must always remember, there's not a woman of reproductive age in the Republic of Ireland who voted on the Eighth Amendment. So it's time for political leadership to catch up with where public opinion is at, and to allow the people of the Republic of Ireland to have a say and to be afforded an opportunity to repeal the Eighth Amendment, because it is the Eighth Amendment that forced us as a society to fail Jennifer as appallingly as we did. And I think it is to our shame that we allowed that situation to continue. Thanks very much indeed.
you to everyone who's spoken so far.